Bart Cop Radio.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on your computer, it's the bad boys of liberal talk radio. This is Tommy Mack in Los Angeles and
Bart Cop in Oklahoma.
Hey, Bart, it's the day after St. Patrick's Day. Are you as hungover as I am?
Oh. And it wasn't even the beer.
Well, what, you know, we know your penchant for tequila, but, you know, tequila really isn't a very popular drink in Ireland, I would imagine. So what were you downing yesterday?
Could have been whiskey.
Could have been whiskey, or was it whiskey? I mean, do you not know? Is it that bad off for you?
I had a pain I had to kill.
A pain? Is that like, what kind of pain? Like a mental pain? A physical pain? Was it like something jumping out of your stomach like in the movie Alien? I mean, describe. We'd like to hear this, man.
Let's go with mental.
Okay.
That's more easily understood.
Well, do you feel like it raised your IQ at all?
No, I lost a few cells last night.
Good, because we'd hate to ruin the groove that is Bart Cop. Last thing we need is you to become one of those fancy schmancy university liberals.
Yeah, it's been so long since you did one of these. I hope I remember how to talk.
I know what you're saying, man. It's been several weeks, several shows, but we're back and we're here to let people know what the hell's going on in the world.
And so much has happened. What do you think about that business in Spain?
You know, first off, here's my opinion on that, because, you know, the right-wingers are going ballistic, saying, this is what happens if you appease terrorists. They've given up, you know, and all that sort of stuff. I seem to remember about 2 years ago, huge, massive demonstrations in Spain, when they took internal polls saying about 80% of the population was against the war, and then the president goes to war. Well, of course he's going to get elected out. It has nothing to do with the terrorists. It has to do with the fact that most of the people hated their leader for doing something they did not want to do. So when someone says Spain is setting a deadly precedent because they're capitulating to the terrorists, no. Say the will of the people has finally been done.
Well, you know, plus that Aznar fell over there, as soon as those trains blew up, he had his people get on the phone, start calling journalists and saying this was the workings of that ETA. It had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. He was doing a very BFE-like spin, trying to make everybody think that it wasn't his involvement in the war that caused the deaths of all those people.
I know. It's so blatantly obvious. And even to this point, our administration is trying to say, well, we're not quite sure it was Al-Qaeda. It's a bunch of sycophantic bastards.
Well, plus a point I've tried to make a few times that if this was over Afghanistan, then yeah, I say let's fight. But this wasn't. These people were protesting an illegal war that didn't need to be fought.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, if there is a silver lining that we can get from this, we don't have to suffer through Monkey Boy trying to pronounce Aznar. Remember how much trouble he had? And so I met up with the Spanish Prime Minister Aznar. It's like, no, you numbnuts! Aznar!
Hey, it's not nice to make fun of the retarded.
Well, you know, it's like the White House has become one large handicapped parking space.
You know, so the bad news is I think we can expect to have some terrorists a couple of days before the election, too. But unlike Spain, I think our voters are going to rally around the Bush boy if he lets his if he's taken advantage of again by Al-Qaeda.
Strange how we're going to get it backwards. After a terrorist attack that is, you know, predominantly Bush's fault, we all of a sudden supported him.
Yeah, the more Bush screws up, the higher he goes in the ratings. The more people die, the more people rally around the president. That's kind of crazy. Hey, I got a quote for you.
Yeah.
Headline, Kerry Cheney trade jabs on war. Cheney says, had the decision belonged to Senator Kerry, Saddam Hussein would still be in power. You know, that might be true. But if Saddam Hussein was still in power, we'd still have about 1,200 soldiers and their families intact. Well, sorry, the 1,200 are the dead. There's maybe 2,500 have lost eyes, limbs, and memories. And all that could have been avoided if the little Bush boy had had a little patience. But no, he had to have that oil. He wanted it real bad, so he said, screw world opinion. I'm going in, whether you like it or not. And what do we got? I think tomorrow is a year since we invaded. And what do we got? A whole bunch of dead people and constant explosions. You know, we lost six boys over the weekend. God, I hate to hear that.
It's tragic. It's horrible. Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at the scorecard, you're right. Saddam Hussein may still be in power. But over 10,000 Iraqi civilians would be living. I mean, that's three times the World Trade Center disasters. Three times of our 9/11s, but we caused it directly. We'd have over 560 of our soldiers not dead. We would have 2,000 of our soldiers not missing limbs. We'd have over $400 billion still in our coffers to help out the economy, to help out the states so we don't have to cut school spending. We'd have so much more. Yeah, and we'd have some idiot with a mustache named Saddam Hussein still playing like a freaking idiot. But I'd rather have that for a while and have Hans Blix go back in there, do his inspections. They may still get the runaround, but at least we will start getting real intelligence, not baked yellow cake reports from Nigeria. We would actually do it right. When you play chess, you do not go straight for the king. You take your time, you build your plan, you study your opponents. This was a bad chess move. In fact, I don't even think Bush knows how to play chess. I think he thought this was Battleship and he could go B29. You sank my regime. No, he's an idiot. And we all have to pay for this idiot's mistake.
You know, Saddam was fully contained, and Powell told the Egyptians that in 2001, but then they just changed their minds. They just decided, well, what if he were to get weapons, and what if he were to come after us? I guess we better send a bunch of men over there to die to prevent the what if from maybe happening sometime in the future, possibly, sort of.
I love that.
Have you heard this latest Halliburton outrage? Every day there's a new Halliburton outrage. This one involves food. You remember that great Doonesbury cartoon a few weeks ago where the soldier walks up to the counter and says, I'd like a Halliburger, please. And they said, okay, that'll be $30.
Yeah.
Well, they got caught with some more. It's like 4 days in a row now. They got caught with some more funny business with the money.
They're doing kickbacks.
Yeah, but what they're doing, they were caught so many times in a row that the Pentagon finally said, tell you what, we're going to withhold 15% of your money this month on food. So they withheld $300 million from the Halliburton contract. But when you extrapolate, big word for a guy with a 64 IQ.
Wow.
That means Halliburton is getting $2 billion a month to feed these guys. $2 billion a month, which my good math comes out to $24 billion a year. And that's just on food. That's not even beginning to talk about laundry. That's not talking about gas and oil, that's not talking about. Think of the telecommunications. Think every time these boys place a phone call home, Halliburton is selling them a phone call for, what, $1 a minute and probably costing them 7 cents a minute, so they're putting in 93 cents in their pocket. And they don't know any more about telecommunications than they do food or laundry, so they're having to farm all that out. They get this no-bid contract up at the top for, you know, like the $2 billion for the food. Then they farm that out to somebody for $1 billion, put $1 billion in their pocket. So when someone threatens them with a $300 million fine, they can afford to laugh. They just don't care. They're just rolling in money. And that $2 billion a month is just the food. So
yeah, I can't do math for myself right now because my head is screaming in agony from the booze yesterday. But we have, what, over there, our forces are about 150,000 soldiers?
Yes.
And it's $2
billion? $2 billion a month for food.
I can't do the math right now, but isn't that something like $2,000 or $20,000? Dollars a month in food for per soldier?
No, it involves an eight. So I guess that's, 800 a month or 8,000? Probably 800 a month.
No, eight. That'd be 8 million, I think. Screw it. Okay, due to the magic of recording technology, we just took a break, and I checked on my cell phone calculator that if you do 2 billion divided by 150,000, it is in fact $13,000 per soldier per month. Damn!
That's some pretty good food.
Man, that's steak and lobster covered in cocaine. What the hell? I know there's infrastructure, you know, but we gotta bring the food into this country. It's like, oh man, look, that's just, I mean, the Isle of Manhattan has 12 million people on it, and they don't even eat that much, you know, $2 billion worth of food per month. Jesus!
Well, see, it all came out on a secret thing. The $2 billion was never announced. You know, they just had an under-the-table secret black budget contract. And then when the Pentagon withheld $300 million and called it 15%, that's when the $2 billion figure came out. I mean, if you're going to have a no-bid contract, you'd be crazy to submit a fair bid. I mean, that's the whole purpose of having a no-bid contract, so you can pump the hell out of it and really rake in the big, giant numbers. And that's just what they did. But it's kind of like, I got a pencil in my hand. How much do you think it's worth, Tommy? I'm going to sell you this pencil, and the government, the taxpayer is going to pay for it. So how much would you pay for this pencil in my hand?
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to pay at least $300, but you know what? You're going to kick back $100 to me.
No, it's $1,300. You got to think big, like Halliburton.
Damn, you're right.
$1,300 per pencil. And how many pencils did you need?
Sorry, what was that?
How many pencils do you need at $1,300
apiece? Well, obviously I'm going to need 10,000.
No, 2 million. You got to think big like Halliburton.
Damn, you're right.
This is taxpayer money that me and you are paying for. You and I are paying for this.
Mm. I'm having a hard time making my car insurance payment right now, much less paying for their food over there.
And the Democrats don't care. They're just willing to sit there and let him empty the Treasury. This is Social Security money. This is Medicare money. This is money for the sick and the old. Yeah, education, infrastructure. Mrs. Bart was on a tear last night. She read the story. Of course, not in Barkov.com. She wouldn't go near that rag. But she read about the national parks are feeling the punch now, or the pinch, and they're going to start cutting back on trash pickup and roadside painting and, you know, the little maps and upkeep on the roads and stuff. They're having to cut back on that because Bush is giving all that money away to the super rich who aren't hiring anybody.
Yep.
You don't want to get between Mrs. Bart and a national park. She will mow you down.
I believe you.
Well, hey, what about a letter to the editor?
Hey, let's hear a letter to the editor.
Not So Fast Democrats is the name of it.
Okay.
Says voters will remember that the elected Democrat refused to support the president in a time of war. Yes, and we also remember that the elected Republicans impeached their president during a time of war. Then she goes on, Democrats are so desperate to regain some of the power they once had that they appear to be placing party politics ahead of our country. Well, gee, the monkey we got in there now started a war to pump up his popularity numbers, and we got 1,200 guys dead and thousands that are maimed, and he did that just to remain in power. There's no legitimate argument for keeping Bush in power. I mean, if Kerry can't win this debate, he just really should be...
He should be gored.
Yes, exactly. But he's in such a position. He's got a 90-10 command of the facts, and if he ends up losing this, that means that 10 is greater than 90, and I'd hate to be the guy who resulted in that conclusion.
You know, I really like Kerry. I think he would make an awesome president. I do have only one problem with the man.
Oh, what's that?
Have you noticed how he speaks? I am the man who will be able to always talk like this, and if I don't always talk like this, then I will be another man who may be talking like this.
Well, I think his speaking style gives him some gravitas.
Wow, check you out with the Latin words.
Well, Latin. Yeah, check it out. All right, what else is going on here?
I don't know. What else is going on there?
Well, here, I got a stack. Let me see what else is in the stack. The Catholics are at it again.
Once again, my new motto, the Catholics. You tried scrubbing, you tried waxing, they keep coming back.
USA Today, greatest paper in the world,
yep,
printed a short list of what they paid out just in 2003. You better be sitting down. But in just 2003, Boston paid out $85 million. Louisville paid out $25 million. Chicago paid out $14 million. Seattle, $7 million. Manchester, New Hampshire, $6 million. Covington, Kentucky, $5 million. Just in 2003, that's, about $140 million that they could have used to pay for the, you know, the orphans and the widows and all that. They could have maybe hired some more teachers with that. They could have built a lot of churches with that. But no, anal sex means more to them than the vows they took, and it just kills me that more attention should be paid to this. Why aren't Catholics just in the streets every Sunday marching by the, like in New York, 100,000 Catholics marching in the streets demanding that they sign the No Tolerance Pledge today, by the end of business today, by sundown, they should demand that that thing be signed. But they're just kind of back-burnering it, acting like, well, yeah, there's some... there's some good things about the no-tolerance policy, and then they kind of change the subject to move around, but can you believe that? $140, $150 million they paid out just last year. And the people...
Makes me wish I had been raped as a young child at a Catholic school. I'd be rich now.
But you got these people, these hard-working, you know, God-fearing, strong-believing Catholics going to church every Sunday, dropping 20 or something dollars into the little collection plate, knowing that that's going to be paid off, that they're going to pay off some little kid next year, because he's going to come forward, say, in October, November, and then they're going to have to pay him off, and they're going to use that money that you gave them. It just seems like...
You know, it's a crime. But you know what's a real crime to that poor Catholic parishioner? The fact that every Sunday they have to eat that really crappy, tasteless wafer. I mean, what the hell is that? You see, now that's where my idea for a new product, Jesus. That's right. It's the cheesy Jesus communal cracker. Nacho cheese flavor of Christ. Cool ranch flavor of Christ. And, you know, add a little flavor. I mean, if you're going to be eating the body of Christ, have some spicy.
You know, even as a kid, I thought it was creepy, you know, in the Mass when they changed. I was so old. I was there when they changed from Latin to English. But it just sounds so creepy. We will eat his body. We will drink his blood. And I'm thinking, ooh.
Hey, well, you know, cannibalism and vampirism, that's, as Eddie Izzard did in his show, that's what that's about, man.
But that's a little crazy. You know, you get these wacko cultists who do wacky things, and, well, yeah, like the vampires, they drink blood, and people think, oh, how weird are they? And then Catholics, who, comma, are the biggest voting bloc in the United States, comma, they go around with their drinking blood and eating the body stuff. That's just a little creepy. It's surprising that the little kids don't get more creeped out by that.
Okay, you know, we're probably losing some subscribers right now.
Well, we only say it because it's true, but we can move on.
All right. So what's next?
Canada says no to sending troops to Iraq. I think Spain might have started something rolling here. You know, the Spanish soldiers now are going to go home, and they're not going to die. The Canadians are saying no to the troops. What's to stop right behind that? The Italians, the Polish, whoever else are over there. You know, the old 60s slogan, what if they gave a war and nobody came?
Well, I don't think the Italians are over there right now. Now, I know that some Eastern European countries like Estonia are staunch supporters of Bush and what he's doing over there, and they have, like, five men, which comprises, you know, one-tenth of their army. But of course, you do realize the sheer amount of bribery that our government gave to some of these former Eastern Bloc nations and Yugoslav nations to join our coalition of the piddling.
I think it's worse than what you're making out. I'll tell you what happened. You remember the story, you know, we can't prove it, but they say in early 2001, Bush contacted the Afghani government, the Taliban, and said, you're either going to get a carpet of bombs or a carpet of gold. Which do you want? And they said, go to hell. We don't want to do any business with you. We don't want you to take over our pipeline. And then Bush said, okay, we're coming. And the theory is that's why Bin Laden hit New York in the first place, because Bush said, I'm in the mood to kill something. And they know that when Bush gets in the mood to kill something, that's the only thing he's good at. So what? As far as we know, Bush went to every country after 9/11 when he got ready to invade Iraq and said, you're either with us or you're not. Either you're going to be partners with us and make a bunch of money, or we're going to put you on the blacklist and we're going to do everything we can to hurt you, or you in or out.
That's our Bush.
It's just a crazy way to conduct foreign policy. Sure, there are times when you need to do that, but it's a stupid thing to do when you're just trying to bump up your poll numbers and steal some oil. That $2 billion a month they're stealing on just the food, like I say, that's just the food. We have no idea. They could be making $3, $4, $5 billion a month off the war profit, and it's been a year. So maybe $60 billion they've made just off the war. Now that doesn't even count the oil they're pulling out of the ground.
Well, here's something interesting. Now, I was watching a program on one of the Discovery Times channels. You know, I think there are about 15 Discovery channels now. And it was called Embedded, the Inside View of Iraq from the Journalists. Now, this isn't the war journalists that just saw what the government wanted them to see. It was like deep inside seeing what's really going on in Iraq. And one of the things that really struck me, imagine the Library of Congress. Yes, our Library of Congress in Washington. It's a repository of just about everything important our country's ever done in the last 200 years. Okay?
Right.
Well, you know, after the fall of Baghdad, extreme looting and chaos and anarchy ensued, you know, throughout the region. Their Library of Congress, if you will, was looted and burned to the ground. And we're talking thousands of years of documents, of books, of history, gone, priceless. Makes our Library of Congress seem like a toy store, but it's gone forever. But you know what? At least we had soldiers guarding the oil refineries.
Oil is important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was just tragic.
Yes, it's just amazing the things that this crazy man has gotten away with. And where are the Democrats? I mean, finally, Kerry's speaking up, but where was Kerry a year ago? Where was Kerry 2 years ago? It's just amazing that they just sit there and take it. Even, I don't know, it's just again and again. They just keep taking it. And it would be so easy to get free publicity. They could be on the CBS Evening News tonight. They could be the lead story if they just wanted to be. But they're just content to let this madman drain every nickel possible from every taxpayer. And he's draining it from all the future taxpayers, too. Think about making a date with a guy. You know, you're walking down the street and the guy jumps out of the bushes, puts a knife to your neck and says, give me your wallet. Well, that's going to happen every day. You know, for the next 30 years, we're going to be paying on this debt, this ongoing robbery. So every day, no matter where we are, we can be locked in a steel vault. And that guy's still going to pop in, put a knife to our throat and say, give me your wallet. And all we can do is hand him the wallet because the money's gone.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what was really annoying me. Of course, the ads are coming out again saying all Democrats are tax and spend. Tax and spend. That's what Democrats do. I mean, you and I both met RINOs, which are Republicans in name only, who are liberal, but they vote Republican because they have one thing on their brain. I don't want my taxes going up. They're idiots. They don't realize their taxes do go up when Bush did his tax cut because all your property taxes, state taxes, local taxes had to go up to make up for all the lost revenues. But that's beside the point. If you consider the sheer amount of money being borrowed by the Bush administration, this is the phrase every Democrat needs to repeat. So you're into borrow and spend, which is actually more physically damaging. Republicans are borrow and spend. Borrow and spend, borrow and spend, borrow and spend, and that is always worse.
Not only that, but the tax cuts have caused the recession that laid everybody off. Does it really help to get a $300 check from Bush if you don't have a job? Me, I'd rather have a job.
Don't touch that dial. Though you don't have a dial because you're probably listening to this on the computer.
I'm happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine.